Welcome to Bovine Banter with the Penn State Extension Dairy Team. I'm Daniela Roland, and I'm a dairy educator based in Franklin County, Pennsylvania. For this series on organic dairy farming, joining us today is Chris Anderson with Sustainable Strategies. So thank you, Chris, for joining us and for talking with me today. To get us started, could you please tell me a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a pleasure to be here today. My grandfather, Paul Keene, started Walnut Acres way back in 1946 and grew that into the first vertically integrated organic farm in the U.S. So we were growing up to 600 acres of certified organic cropland because in those days, if you wanted it to be organic, you had to grow it. And we did that and took that from the land all the way through further on-site processing. So we had an on-site mill, an on-site granary, an on-site bakery, and an on-site cannery. And we took all those great products and sold them direct to consumers before there was a health food store on every corner or a Whole Foods market in every community. And we kind of got into policy and sustainability the way everybody does, by complete accident. We had to start lobbying the federal government because we were radically roasting peanuts, grinding them up and putting them in a jar and selling it as peanut butter. And the FDA came down on us and said, you can't do that. That's imitation peanut butter because it doesn't contain salt and sugar and hydrogenated oils, which was what was in the conventional food. So we started lobbying and really helping create the knowledge base that Whole Foods are at least as good as conventional products and processed foods. So that's how we got into it. And now we're a sustainable strategies. We're an advisory firm. We help companies at all levels of the organic value chain. So from helping farmers decide on how to transition and work through their organic systems plan, to processors who are looking to add organic or become an organic processor, to Fortune 100 companies that are navigating global economic trade around the world. So it's really been exciting. I've grown up organically, and I'm really excited to be able to continue to do it as a full-time job.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And that's really interesting how it all evolved for you and your family. So to start us out on the dairy side, can you give us a basic overview of what organic dairy production is and what it means to be an organic dairy farmer?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that most people understand organics from the produce side, right? And everybody is pretty familiar that you know, you're not going to get synthetic pesticides and herbicides when you go and you purchase produce at the supermarket. And I think that where that starts to break down a little bit is when you get into livestock production. And I think that people understand that there are no, you know, antibiotics or hormones, synthetic antibiotics and hormones given to the animals during their life cycle. But I think that people don't understand that there's also a requirement for pasture, that 30% of the diet of the animal has to come from pasture, and that all of the feed that animal gets has to be 100% organic. So you're growing organic grains and organic pasture and organic hay to feed to these animals throughout their life cycle. And that makes it a much different product from conventional, because you've got to have more range for them to move around. You have to have more access to pasture, and that feed can be more expensive. So that at a really high level, that's the big difference in livestock production from conventional.
So can you walk us through the organic certification process and timeline for dairy farmers that might be thinking of transitioning from conventional to organic?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting and challenging to make that decision to transition. And I think that we all see right now the economic value of that, the difference in the price of organic milk over conventional. You know, in Pennsylvania right now, conventional milk is between, you know, $18 and $22 a hundredweight, and grass-fed A2 organic can be up to $60 a hundredweight. So there's a real economic incentive to do organic production. But to navigate that transition, you've really got to understand that from the ground up. So your land, it takes 36 months or 3 full years to transition your land to organic production. And that's That's 36 months from the last application of a prohibited substance, like a synthetic fertilizer or an herbicide or even treated seeds, before crops grown on your land can be certified. Livestock requires a full 12-month transition of continuous organic management before that milk can be sold as organic. So there are a couple of ways you can go through this process. Number one, you can transition your entire farm at the same time and go through that 3-year process. And in that last year of your transition, you start to transition your herd at the beginning of that, you can actually feed some of those in transition grains that you're growing on your farm to that herd and make it all happen in that time. Another way that you can do it, though, is if your pasture land has not been treated, you can immediately start that 1-year transition of your livestock, if you have enough access to that. And you would only have to then buy in organic grains for that 1 year, and you could get a jump on getting to the premium. So you could get to your organic premium for your milk in 1 year rather than having to wait for 3 years while you transition the whole farm. It's expensive, but it is a really viable option. So the other thing to really understand about that whole herd transition is you can only do that one time. And what I mean by that is that you can't then bring in additional stock and transition them in a year. Once you do that whole herd transition, then everything you bring into the farm has to be organic from the last third of gestation. Every new heifer you bring in has to have been raised organically throughout its entire life cycle. So as you're planning to get into your transition period, as you're planning to start this, make sure that you've got your herd to the right size, the ultimate right size you want it to be at. And if you're thinking about a transition to A2A2 genetic profile, make sure that you've gotten your herd to that genetic profile so that you're not having to go out and buy A2A2 organic heifers, which are outrageously expensive and in very short supply.
Yeah, thank you for pointing out that. That's really interesting. I wasn't aware of that to consider as far as the adding heifers and that regulation there. So thank you for explaining that. Are there any other regulatory steps that producers need to think about that you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, so you're going to have to, as you're starting this whole process, you're going to have to choose a certifier. You're going to have to work on your entire organic systems plan in advance so that you're making sure that you're keeping all of the records throughout your 3-year transition so that you can prove that you've done the work to get the certification, and schedule that initial on-farm inspection so that you can get to your certification and get to that premium. I think that one of the other things to know is that in your farm, organic doesn't have to be an all or nothing situation. You can keep some of your fields as conventional, as a hedge. So you don't have to convert your entire farm to organic production. I would suggest that most farmers are split operations that are growing conventional grains or non-GMO grains in one part of their farm and organic in another part. They've just developed the organic weed management and soil management systems on the organic side to help them out without risking the entire yield of the farm. It is a learning curve, and places like Penn State Extension, like certifiers like PCO, and folks like the Rodale Institute or PASA really will help you find the tools that you need to learn how to do that. But doing that on an entire farm can be a real challenge, and also can be a real risk to your yields. If it was me, I would transition my highest yielding fields first, and get into that production as fast as possible on those.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. And you sort of touched a little bit on this, but are there any other like sort of considerations for upfront costs or anything to consider about on the transitional side of income dips that producers should be aware of and plan for?
Yeah, absolutely. So that transitional valley is a real financial risk, and it is real, because you're going to be you're moving your cattle from a really nutrient dense grain based diet to a more forage based diet. So you can expect that during that 12 months transition, not only is the grain going to be more expensive because you're having to buy organic grain to supplement, which is, 2 to 2 times give or take, more expensive than conventional feed grains, your yield is going to come down 10 to 15% as well as the animals get used to that higher forage diet. So, and you're not getting the premium on the milk at that point. So the other thing that you really want to think about is who are you going to be selling your milk to, and get that set up in advance. Like, who's the co-op that you're gonna use, and does that co-op help you through the transition period? Do they have a market for transitional milk? I know that there are some out there where, conventional milk, again, if we say that's at $20, that they'll offer a premium for transitional in that $28 per hundred weight. And then, when you get to full organic, then we're getting into the $40 a hundred weight for conventional, like for grain-fed organic, and then total grass-fed A2A2, again, upwards of 60. So finding out who your market is going to be, what their requirements are upfront, so that you can create a real financial path for that entire transition period, is absolutely essential. And again, there are lots of resources out there. Penn State Extension is a great one. The Pennsylvania Dairy Center of Excellence is another great one that can help you through that. And then also just talking to other farmers, right? Other organic farmers are a huge resource and can help you through that process. Again, I would highly recommend that if you're going to do that whole herd transition, that you literally get all your cows in a row, that you have the herd size that you want it to be when it transitions, that you have the genetics right when you get to there. That's expensive to get everything right, and you don't want to then have to go out and buy. You want to be able to restock your herd from your own production, not from having to buy it at the market.
Okay, great. Thank you. So you touched on this a little bit too, but I don't know if you can want to expand any more, but how farmers should evaluate whether transitioning to organic is economically viable for their operation, or do you have any recommendations or any benchmarks that farmers could consider when they're thinking about all of this?
Yeah, and again, there are lots of great resources out there available online to do this and really help you navigate to that. You're going to have to choose your certifier and understand what the costs of certification are going to be, because there's an annual fee, there's an inspection fee, and then there's a volume-based fee. So based on how much milk you're producing, you pay a percentage fee there as well. The other things that you've got to consider is how you're going to navigate that valley, right? That 3-year term on your farm. If you're not getting the premium, the organic premium for the grains, how are you going to sell those grains? You're probably going to have a decrease in your yield of your corn, soy, wheat that you've been growing for years as you learn and rejuvenate the soils. Where are you going to sell that? And are you going to get a premium? Do you get a non-GMO premium at your mill that you're selling to? Or can you exchange those non-GMO grains for credit against organic feed from that same mill as a way? If you're going to look at the genetics of your herd, you can't look at an animal or smell an animal and know what its A2 status is. You've got to do genomic testing, and that's $50 $50 per cow. So you've really got to think it all the way through, get a solid financial advisor, and build a real business plan to make this transition and make it viable for you, your family, so that you can survive that transition period of lower yields and higher expenses, until you get to the organic premiums.
Great. Those are excellent recommendations. I especially like the having the financial planning and help there is really important. So backing up, you've mentioned this certifier, and I think if you're a conventional farmer, you might be aware of some different kind of audit type evaluations that most farms have to go through, like the farm program, animal care side of things. But can you walk us through the process of what a certifier does and how a farmer should select a certifier and the steps that should be done with that and working with a certifier?
Yeah, absolutely. And in full transparency, I'm a board member with PCO, Pennsylvania Certified Organic, and they do a great job. That's not an unbiased opinion, but they do a great job, and many in Pennsylvania are certified by PCO. They're really, really good at organic dairy in particular. And I think that it's important to understand there's no quote unquote test for organic, right? You can't just test the milk and say, oh, this is organic. Organic is a systems-based process. So the land has to be certified, the outputs, the crops are certified. So it's a system of record keeping that really keeps and ensures organic integrity along the entire value chain. So your inspector will, when your certifier comes out, they will review your organic systems plan, which is how you're going to manage your farm and how you manage your production facility. They're going to inspect all of the records that you have. So in addition to, everybody records how much milk you got out of every animal. You're going to have to make sure that you can prove that back and prove then the rations as well. So how much forage was each animal getting versus how much grain they were getting. So there's a lot that goes into it, even down to making sure that you use approved cleaning materials in your milk barn, that you're using the right materials to clean your bulk tanks, so that you're not endangering your certification by using the wrong material, even down to the pest management inside your barns, to make sure that you're not commingling conventional and organic grains, that the milk doesn't get mixed with anything or get exposed to anything at all there. So the other really important thing as you're choosing your certifier is to really think about the financial side of it as well, and that is your financing side. So having a financial advisor, and if you need to work with an ag lender early so that you have this line of credit to get you through the 36 months as you're incurring a lot of these costs of buying more expensive grain, having to pay for certification costs and learning all at the same time.
Great. Those are really important points to consider. Thank you. So then once this wasn't in the questions, but once a farm is certified, how often would they be working with a certifier? Does it just once a year, or can they expect several kind of inspections throughout a year once they're certified organic?
Yeah, it's a great question. So every year you have to resubmit and update your organic systems plan. So in the very early parts of the year, you'll go through all of your records from last year. You'll keep all of that compiled, and then you'll update your plan. And that can be as simple as saying that you're going to add a few more cows. You're going to change who you're buying your grain from. All sorts of things. You've got to update that from go to woe. You will have at least one inspection of your farm, an on-farm inspection, and everybody has that every single year. You could have a random inspection. So normally that inspection is scheduled so that it's coming, and you're ready to present your information and your records. And you have to have all those records there with you for the inspector to look at. And they will want to walk through your barn. They'll want to look at your part of it will be probably at your kitchen table where you're looking at records, and then part of it will be on the farm inspecting the animals in the milk barn. But the surprise inspections, the National Organic Program and USDA mandate that certifiers do a number of random inspections, and you'll get a call in the morning and say, hey, we're here to do a random inspection. And that's part of ensuring the organic integrity. It doesn't mean that something is wrong with your farm, but it is a random enforcement action.
Sure, that makes sense. So, what are some common compliance mistakes or any misunderstandings you see or hear about, and how can producers avoid these setbacks?
Yeah, again, a really great question, right? Because you're learning so much in this. So I think that some of the really common things that happen that people trip up, if you are a split operation, right, is when you're running that split operation, you forget that the equipment, like your combine or your grain carts, that they had to be thoroughly cleaned and purged of that conventional grain before you harvest your organic grain. And failing to log that or using the wrong cleaning agents can lead to a major non-compliance. So you're keeping your machinery in great shape and documenting that you're cleaning it all the time is really important. We talked about the origin of livestock and where your herds, your animals are coming from. That can be, or you've got to document where every new heifer comes from. So if you add a heifer from, if you purchase a heifer, you've got to be able to prove that that heifer was managed in organic certification from the last third of gestation, so that the mother cow was fed exclusively 100% organic grains and not given antibiotics during her last third of gestation. So you've got to be able to prove that and have that certification, have the certificate from the where you bought that animal. And then the other one that's really, really common is treated seeds. So if you plant you go out there and you plant your alfalfa, but you use a treated alfalfa seed. So whether it's got, a fungicide or an insecticide on it, in your transitioning acreage, you could end up resetting your 3-year clock of transition. And that can be just brutal. You get to 2 years and then you put down the wrong seed and you're back to square one. And I unfortunately see that a lot. So making sure that you're documenting your seed, you're keeping records of where you bought that seed, when you bought that seed, where you put that seed, what field you put that seed into, at what rate you put it in, at what was the yield when you got it off. There's a lot more to it than there is in conventional agriculture.
Those are excellent points and great for farmers to be aware of, because that sounds like it could be really frustrating or catastrophic if you have one mishap there with one of those things. So thank you for explaining
And I
that.
think that, and Danielle, I think it's important to note that the certifiers are there to be supportive. They're not there to play gotcha games, but they are there to make sure that the organic integrity is there, and that the premium that the consumer is paying, the premium that the co-op that you're selling your milk to is legitimate, because this is all based on trust. And unfortunately, there's fraud. Wherever there's a premium, there's an opportunity for fraud. And it's really incumbent upon everybody in organic agriculture, whether you're a farmer or a consumer or an inspector or a regulator, to root out that fraud. And so, if you see, if you, it's just like anything else. If you see something, say something, right? So if you see that there's fraud going on in, at your local mill or at or somewhere else, report it. The USDA has a very clear way to process and report anonymously fraud, and they are mandated to investigate it. So ensuring that we're all playing by the same rules ensures this system of trust and ensures the consumer that they're getting what they pay for, and that you're getting the premium as the farmer that you're entitled to.
Those are excellent points too. Thank you for explaining that. And I appreciate that you mentioned that a certifier can also be there for support too. So, and you've kind of touched on some other support resources. Are there any other technical assistance providers or resources that you think farmers should explore when they're making this transition?
So shameless plug here for Penn State Extension. It does
That's
phenomenal
okay.
work. You all do incredible work, and the green circles and all sorts of things are out there to help folks get through this. Regenerative dairy farm assessment programs are great. The Pennsylvania Certified Organic has a lot of great resources. Northeast Organic Farming Association, or NOFO New York, has some great things. USDA's NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Services, has great stuff. And don't forget that there may be grants out there that you can get to help you through this process. In the Farm Bill, there has been funding for to offset organic certification costs that can pay you back for up to $750 of your certification costs on an annual basis. But Pennsylvania in particular has done incredible work on grants for organic production. USDA has value-added producer grants where if you're in a pool that is actually taking that raw milk and further processing it into a value-added product that where the producers own that processing, there are grants that are available to help you do that. The Pennsylvania Ag Innovation Grants have been phenomenal resources for organic folks. So just be curious, look around, ask questions, find your neighbors, your friends, and figure out how you can work together to find the right resources. Oh, and the Pennsylvania Dairy Center of Excellence is an incredible resource for dairy farmers as well.
Great, thank you. Yes, at Extension we work really closely with them too. They're very helpful and always kind of evolving things to make sure they have resources for all producers. So that's a great point. As we wrap things up, do you have any final take-home messages or advice for our audience?
First and foremost, thank you, Daniela. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope it's really helpful for you and your listeners. And look forward to helping anybody who has questions down the road. I think that the biggest piece of advice I have is that you've got to treat this entire transition like you're evolving your entire business model, right? This is not just checking the boxes on a regulatory checklist. You've got to understand the financial, the time, and the record keeping all in advance and make the really smart decision that this is the right choice for you, your family, and your farm. And then I think that you have to remember you don't have to flip the whole farm overnight. Using a split operation can allow you to manage that risk while you capitalize on non-GMO premiums along the way until you can get to the organic premium. And then last but not certainly not least is that if you're going to try to stack premiums, right? If you're going to try to stack the premium of organic and then the premium of grass-fed organic and then the premium of grass-fed organic A2, that you've got to match your genetics up to where you're going to sell your product, right? So if you've got to understand the end user, who you're going to sell this to, that's going to be a long-term relationship. In all likelihood, they will probably help you through the transition process and help you do it in an economical way, but make sure that you're doing it with a contract in place, that you've got an idea of where you're going to sell it, because this is not going to be easy. It's going to be a hard learning curve, and I really applaud you for taking the risk to do it, but make sure that you've got that market, that you've got the market lined up, that you've got your finances lined up, that you've got the right certifier before you transition a single acre, before you transition a single cow, so that you can see the light at the end of the tunnel because it is a long tunnel. That being said, there are lots and lots of resources out there to help you. People like Penn State Extension, people like Sustainable Strategies, certifiers, nonprofits. I should have mentioned Team PA and Team Ag inside of Pennsylvania are incredible resources as well. So, ask your friends and neighbors, and take advantage of all the great information that's available out there. And if we can be any help, please don't hesitate to call.
That's all great, great advice and great information. I really appreciate it. We did definitely cover a lot today. So this was excellent talking with you, and I really appreciate your time. And then thank you to all of our listeners too. So if you have any questions regarding this topic, you can email me at djr6158@psu.edu. And for our listeners, be sure to listen in next week as we continue our series on organic dairy farming. Thanks for listening.